genèveactive.ch.
Riri Riza, what was your initial desire by performing Eliana Eliana?
The idea of Eliana Eliana is very much how to change my direction again as a filmmaker that time. Because prior to Eliana Eliana, actually I did a feature film which was very successful in terms of commercial. And it was seen by 1.6 million people in the cinema in Indonesia. After that, me and some friends, we got together to discuss again what kind of representation that again we can look for to reflect Indonesia through screen. And we find this conception that I thought has been done before in many countries, like how they did the new wave back in the 50s and the 60s in French, and also what recently done that time in Danish country by Lars von Trier, Dogma 95. So we are in a way want to depart into some kind of revolution of making movies that different and have a different sense of purpose also altogether. Eliana Eliana is a film set in only one night, mainly happen in a taxi, involving only two characters, a mother and her daughter. And it also pushed me to another direction in terms of telling stories through film.
Why do you choose a nocturnal activity night in Jakarta?
Night in a city reflect a different values of life by the people. And also I think I want to portray certain landscape of the city that is never seen before, especially by Indonesian back home. People like cheap taxi drivers, you know, we call it an underground taxi driver, who usually have different kind of attitude towards life, is also very interesting. And people who live by the street at night. And I guess when you want to tell a story about mother and a daughter who separated for over 5 years, for example, you want to put them in a different circumstances and they will become somebody else and become blunt and honest to themselves. In a way, it's cheaper to shoot at night.
So it's a kind of, not a Jarmusch one night on earth, but it's a kind of your own relationships towards traditions in Indonesia and the fact that it confronts two various generation, mother and daughter. The mother has failed in certain circumstances. The daughter is quite shocked because she has been dismissed at the beginning of the movie. Could you tell us more about this relationship and your own relationship to tradition and your own mother?
I am very inspired by the change that happened in Indonesia in late 90s. We are facing like a totally new society, especially in a political landscape. Before, we are ruled by a sort of dictator's government for more than 30 years. And the dialogue between generation is very much almost like a taboo. It's always a monologue. It's always a one-line dialogue. So I think the film also representing that sort of, or celebrating the idea where now you can talk openly with the older generation. You can say what you want to say and you know, discuss things openly. And in terms of my relationship with my parents, I actually have a better condition than Eliana, but I think maybe because, you know, maybe I'm a man, so it's easier to be, in a way, it's easier to respond to the society. Because in Indonesia, we are in a way quite a religious society where everything is very formalistic and paternalistic. So I think it's more difficult for a woman like Eliana to face the world. So that's why I'm interested to tell that story.
She's a kind of fight girl, in fact. Could we talk about a little bit more about the initial sequence, in fact, when she's dismissed? You have only the male violence outside the screen, and you are putting your attention on skin, the visage, often. Why do you start by this kind of thing that there's a male presence, she's very violent, and then you have the scene on the restaurant where there's also another kind of violence?
It's like almost like a visual strategy where I want to tell stories not only from what we see on the screen, but what we see outside. And you know, I think I try to portray in cinema a different way of representing conflict, for example. I try to keep the balance between a direct confrontation where you can actually see, for example, the protagonist or antagonist, but I try also to make it, you know, more subtle. I want to make Eliana Eliana as a film that has a different attitude towards drama, towards cinematography, and hopefully people will experience something different. In Indonesia, for many years, we have a tradition of cinema that based very much on the development from the theater world, where everything is told in a very clear and theatrical way. What I'm trying to do is actually trying to deconstruct that idea of a cinema and make it more interesting, in my opinion, in my vision.
What do you precisely explore in this movie? Because there's this relationship between two generations, but there's also this kind of loneliness and the struggle for life.
Possibilities of commenting on social issues is something that I'm interested in, rather than try to make a very strong focus of what I want to say. I believe audience nowadays, contemporary film audience, or at least my experience in watching some contemporary films from Asia especially, is, you know, they offer us possibilities of constructing our own little stories within films. Sometimes it confuses us. Sometimes we get really confused, but, you know, we end up have a very different, interesting feeling lingering in our head when after we finish watch a film. That is exactly something that I always try to do every time I make a film. I always let some structure open for the audience to, for example, think or give their own experience to involve in the process of watching a film. I mean, that's the idea.
And film grain inflated by the digital in hot lights and dark contrasts. We are you were talking about this iCinema manifesto, in fact, that you belong to, and that is perhaps conceptually close to the Scandinavian dogma. But the fact that this for dogma for Thomas Vinterberg or Lars von Trier, they did not respect the rules, in fact. But for you, these are not rules, these are necessities.
Exactly. For example, why I choose my location is basically with the ideas, so I don't have to rent too much lighting. I'm choosing location because they're already rich with lighting sources or, you know, art departments, you know, artistic ideas. That's basically something that I think very much almost like creative solutions for independent filmmaking. We also try to do this manifesto because we are have lots of problems when we want to make films in Indonesia, because making movies in Indonesia is only an economic activities. People or the government in Indonesia didn't really respect film as an art form, or at least they didn't have any vision to see film develop into a certain kind of arts. So we have to take these matters with our own hand and trying to, you know, evolve cinema ourselves. And we set certain rules that we thought can help us, you know, to solve our, you know, logistic and economic problem when we're making film in the future.
So talking about economical and logistic problem, the Indonesian parliament has voted September 8, 2009, a controversial law on cinema. Filmmakers are now obliged to submit their scripts to censorship committee. What are the consequences of this law for your work as a filmmaker now?
I think for us, since I made films already 10 years now with so many challenge, and film has given me so much, and I'm willing to take any risk possible to make a movie or story ideas that I believe. But I'm very much worried with the new generation, because the new generation is going to face a more and more challenging situation in terms of financing films, because not many financiers now believe in film anymore, because they thought, what kind of story we can tell in this kind of, you know, situation? Every time you have a riskier story that take a risk, there's a possibility your film will be banned and you will never get your money back. We don't have such a thing as a government support in terms of production for filmmakers. All of us make movies from a private money, you know, investors. So it's very difficult for the newer generation. But for me, it's just another law. In terms of Indonesia, we know that many laws, bills has been passed, but the government itself never actually ready to implement that law. They always have to chase certain priorities, which is the economy usually, to make political stability, for example. So they always forget about this kind of laws, and they started to being inconsistent and paradoxical about it. So I hope I can still make movies, of course, I believe in that, but I hope the newer generation will find a creative way to solve the problem in terms of financing their independent film, you know.
The Indonesian landscape, urban and rural, is quite unique and offers many possibilities, included for foreign productions, in fact, but it's quite difficult with that kind of laws, actually, to settle down. What is your relationship to this urban landscape? Very particular, there is no similarity with others in Asia.
I think the urban landscape of Indonesia offers so many possibilities for story. But also, in the last two films that I did, I explore more to the rural area. My film that was released in 2008, the title is Rainbow Troops, was a film that was very successful in box office in Indonesia. It set the record. It was sold 4.6 million admission back home, which is, you know, never been done, never happened before to any local films. And also at the same time, the film got accepted in the, selected in the prestigious Panorama section in Berlin. So I think it shows us something. And the film is focused on the life of people in the mining area in one island of Indonesia, which a very rich island, but the people itself got really poor because, you know, they're become a subsidiary of the economic activities or economic exploitation in that island. This kind of story, I believe, is also a kind of story that can be very unique from Indonesia, coming out from Indonesia, and can be interested for the world to see in the landscape of international cinema.
How do you come in touch with the characters and the person that you describe in Rainbow Troops, in fact, for this mining society?
The film was based on a novel that was released in year 2005. The novel was basically based on the real-life story of the narrator of the story. And the novel was very successful because it has never been done before. When the novel was released, the writer asked me to read it and asked me to give recommendation to it. And when I read the novel, it's almost like a love in the first sight. And I said, wow. I share it with my producer and I said, this is something that we can do can be very, you know, interesting to be adapted into a film. And, you know, we did.
Perhaps Indonesia is a patriarchal society, and to be an independent woman, as you describe in Eliana Eliana, is quite more challenging. How do you come to interest yourself about women's situation in Indonesia?
I think we always have a very, very interesting story coming out in form of literature or just a people. For example, we have our first women president back in year 2002, which is happens to be the daughter of our first president, Sukarno. That is very significant in a way affecting the landscape of mind of Indonesian about the position of women. And I happened to marry a woman from West Sumatra, which is where Eliana came from. And when they got together, these women from West Sumatra, they're usually very loud and they are very spontaneous and honest, and they can be very critical to men. And ironically, they live in a Muslim society, which is also paradoxical and ironic in their respect position. So I think it's very interesting. It just interests me, and, you know, I love to portray women on film because, you know, they're beautiful. They have, you know, I'm so passionate when I portray women in film.
Paradoxale, it seems to me like a very classical movie, and it's reinforced with the music. It's a long, haunting piano theme, which ends as a prelude, Wild Night on the Town. What is the importance for you as the music partition there?
I love films that has a very strong music impression, that left very strong impression in terms of music to me. Until today, I always hum, for example, the music from, you know, Schindler's List or The Empire of the Sun, for example, and also films like American Beauty. I think music can play a very strong role. You know, good music in a film is also has to serve the story well. You cannot be very strong about it, you know. You should keep the balance right. And this person who did the music for this film has been working with me a lot too. And I think it, especially in terms of the minimalist approach with Eliana Eliana, he was very successful in treating it.
You concentrate on plans, often faces, quite sensitive to capture the slightest expression, the slightest movement. How do you want to translate the body language related to time?
It's the actor play a very strong role to that, because sometimes during the rehearsal I will learn to carefully, sensibly pay attention to that. And when we rehearse on location, I let my actors with the set, with the properties, and with that, together with the cinematographer, then we decided which part that we would play. And I think also Eliana play with a very free rhythm, and I never really calculate, you know, the timing and everything. I just go with the flow and everything. I guess I'm very lucky with this film, because the pace, everything, the environment and the actors land very well in terms of creating the pace of the film.
Beginning of the movie, there are some pictures from quite an album or an old album, old pictures from these two characters. I was wondering and thinking about another cinematographer, perhaps you know her, she's Japanese, her name is Naomi Kawase, with Mother, for example. It's not the same tonality, it's not the same atmosphere, but there is something which is done about memories and about relationship between mothers. Do you think that you are close from that kind of cinematographical point of view or approach, like the one of Naomi Kawase?
I watch Naomi Kawase's film whenever I got opportunity to see it, but of course it's tough, you know, because I think we can only see her film in the festival circuit. I think the most important is, cinema can be very immediate and spontaneous too. And especially when you have like the technology nowadays, camera can be very lightweight and can be very, you know, naturalist in terms of portraying a situation. And because of it's very small also, you can actually be very direct about it. And that is something that I enjoy most from Naomi Kawase's film. And I think she also treat very well the use of sound in her films. You know, the editing of sound can be, you know, basically unlimited. And thank you for reminding me of that, because I think she's one of the great filmmakers of the world that we rarely see. You know, we can hardly see her films, apart if you have a big festival nearby you. Cinema is all about how you see something and react. You want to make the person who sees it react to it. So I think maybe I was strongly influenced by this culture. If you see, for example, the wayang, the shadow plays, or you see traditional Balinese painting, it's all about choreography. It's all about how characters or human bodies put in front of a landscape, wide landscape. And I think, you know, watching that all the time, it will create certain sensitivity to you as a filmmaker. Genève Active.ch